Let's see. The planet is hot. Droughts, fires, floods. But our economy is cold. Recession, job losses. What if we could make our planet cooler and the economy hotter? We can. If we end our dependence on foreign oil and switch to clean energy. The carbon pollution from oil and coal that's melting the ice caps and warming the planet? Cap it and spur new investment and jobs in clean energy like wind and solar. Investing in clean energy could provide more than 37 million jobs for American workers in the next 20 years. That's right, 37 million jobs. Closing the carbon pollution loophole makes polluters pay and helps clean companies prosper so they can hire more workers. As a result, the planet cools, the economy heats up. Pretty cool. I mean, hot.
Paid for by the Alliance for Climate Protection.
Hey, tea lovers, this is Betsy Rosenberg, and I hope you know about my favorite brand of tea. If not, listen up. This is not just another brand of tea. It's an entirely different level of tea. I'm talking about Mighty Leaf, the tea that's so delicious it helped my husband and I kick our coffee habit a few years ago. Not only does Mighty Leaf use the whole leaf of teas grown in China, India, and beyond, and come in a flavorful assortment of blacks, greens, and whites, but the pouches that hold the tea are as high a quality as the tea itself. The silken biodegradable sacks are not only glue, staple, and chemical-free, they're gorgeous and made from corn. Check it out yourself. You'll find Mighty Leaf at Whole Foods markets across the country, in the finest hotels and restaurants, as well as online at MightyLeaf.com. My current favorites are the Organic Detox Infusion and Organic Green Dragon. So start your day with a cup of Organic Mighty Leaf Tea and get infused with your green routine. In stressful times like these, we need to detoxify our bodies as well as our environment. Discover for yourself why with just one cup of Mighty Leaf Tea, you'll be hooked for life. For personal and planetary health, drink Mighty Leaf.
Keep listening to the Green Talk Network for the latest in the sustainability and green movement for all of our futures, today and tomorrow. The Green Talk Network. Spread the green.
You're listening to On the Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg. The phone lines are open for your comments and questions at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send Betsy Rosenberg an email. Her address is betsy@thegreenfront.com. Now, back to On the Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg.
And before I introduce my next guest, I want to thank our sponsors making On the Green Front Radio possible. First of all, Alliance for Climate Protection. We mentioned them in the first segment. That's Al Gore's group. Next, Mighty Leaf Tea. Our friends there make great organic teas, greens, reds, whites. It's delicious and nutritious. Also, our content partner, Sustainable Life Media, making this segment possible, as well as Clorox's line of green cleaning products called the Greenworks line. Check them out. But now for our sustainable business segment, last but not least, we are going to welcome to the program Suze McCormick. She is a partner in the group Morrison & Forster in their San Francisco office. It's a law firm, and they have been in the forefront of law firms that are green in terms of the work they do. And she currently serves as a co-chair of the Venture Capital Emerging Companies Group and the Clean Tech Group for the firm worldwide, and is co-chair of the Green Technology and Climate Change Committee for the ABA section of Science and Technology Law. That's a long title for someone who just got off the stage talking about a big topic, and that is legal issues around carbon regulation. And Susan is going to talk to us about what needs to be changed in terms of corporate structure around carbon. And thank you for joining us on short notice, Suze. Welcome back to the Green Front.
Hi, Betsy. How are you?
Good. I say welcome back just because we consider all of our Sustainable Life Media partners our friends, and you're going to be speaking at the upcoming Sustainable Brands 09 conference coming up in just a couple of weeks. What will be your topic?
At Sustainable Brands, I'm going to be talking with Jeff Mendelson, who's the CEO of New Leaf Paper, and Jay Gilbert Cohen, really on corporate form, which I'm a corporate lawyer at MOFO, and corporate form, for a lot of reasons, has become my passion, as strange as that sounds.
I've never even heard that term, corporate form. What do you mean by corporate form?
Corporate form really has to do with how corporations operate. And if I may, I'll give you a little bit of history. I grew up at MOFO, is a big for-profit law firm with about 1,100 lawyers. We do great work, but we mainly represent big corporations who, you know, until recently didn't think of themselves as terribly sustainable. And around 2000, 2001, a bunch of things happened, and I basically became pretty frustrated and bored, sort of just facilitating the movement of large amounts of money around. And I got introduced through a variety of factors to sustainability. And I started working with groups like Pacific Community Ventures here in California and BSR, and then other groups like Janine Benyus and the Biomimicry Institute, and really just became fascinated with the space. And the one thing I realized after a number of years is that, you know, you could have all of the nonprofits and the even some of the for-profits doing all of this great work, and it really was only going to make a dent in what I perceived to be the issue. And the issue is really that natural resources and externalities have been mispriced for so long that we don't have something that is solvable through normal market forces. I think regulation can get us only part of the way there, and then I came to the conclusion that really a large part of the issue is how the corporation itself is structured. And the fiduciary duties, while not exclusively, that require boards and management to look primarily to the best interest of the shareholder, and then there are a lot of structural and legal incentives, and you know, which basically lead to a short-term focus on shareholder value. There is the business judgment rule, which gives companies like Google and a lot of the companies that are sustainable a lot of flexibility to pursue a sustainable agenda, but only within sort of a small band. And so I came to the conclusion that the form had to change if we were really going to affect broad-scale change. That was
a
long-winded answer.
How do you feel about changing the form of a corporate structure? Pretty
yeah.
embedded.
Pardon?
How you go about changing the form of corporations, which by definition their policies and form formats and you know practices tend to be embedded in their, you know, if you think of a corporation as a personality, as a person, which that movie The Corporation did.
Yeah.
How do you make, I mean, it's hard enough for people to change. How do you change a giant entity like a corporation?
Well, I mean, some of it happens sort of beyond my understanding, which is, I mean, some of it happens is happening naturally in corporations because they have a visionary leader, they put together a group of visionary folks in management who see the problem or who even recognize sort of the long-term benefits that if they want to, like, you know, the Walmarts of the world who want to get a competitive advantage and being more sustainable could lead to a competitive advantage, sort of really embedding sustainability in their operations. But the other ways you do it are, you know, if you look at all the regulation that is about to come and will be coming over the next couple years, you basically the government mandates it. And the third way is you change the legal requirements. If you change the fiduciary duties, if you have a bunch of corporate lawyers like me who say, unless you emphasize the environment and the community at least equally to shareholder value, you know, somebody could sue you, then you can change behavior.
Hmm. And better to do it proactively rather than evolve or die.
Well, I think you could. I think a lot of the internal CSR policies at large corporations have, and you know, are in fact moving large corporations in the right direction. I just think it's going to take too long. It will be an evolutionary process. I mean, I didn't. There were some interesting points made in the movie The Corporation, but I was already too embedded, so I spent most of the time criticizing it, and I'm a corporate lawyer. So I think it could happen over the next 100 years and evolve just as corporate structures have evolved, and I just don't think we have that kind of time with some of the pressing issues that are before us today. And
exactly.
So sort of, you know, one solution to the issue is really to change the form, to, you know, adopt statutes in states so that companies can set up in a way that allows them, affords them the flexibility to emphasize the social and the environmental.
Do you talk about Ray Anderson as a case study? I heard him speak for about the 12th time, and he's always inspiring, just last week. And someone from the audience asked a good question. Okay, Ray, if sustainability is such a no-brainer, because he talked about all the win-win-wins that have come to not only his, you know, personal and professional career, and he must be making a fortune just on the speaking circuit, but sometimes it can be a circus, but to interface carpets and just what an eco-evangelist he has become in his industry. If it's such a no-brainer, why aren't there more Ray Andersons? And do you talk about those companies that are in the forefront, whatever their particular industry is, as having reaped, you know, enormous benefits, even though there might be some short-term costs, in terms of just public recognition and that those who lead on the sustainability front will have this edge?
They will have the edge, but, I mean, Why don't most corporations, again, I look to, I mean, I'm a corporate lawyer, so I'm a little bit myopic, but I look to the structure. So if let's just take the clothing companies as an example. Take the difference between, you know, Levi's and all of its competitors. Why is Levi's, you know, able to be on the forefront? Or why is Interface Carpet with Ray Arison allowed to be on the forefront? And the answer is that a significant amount of the shares in the Levi's case are privately held by the Haas family, or their companies like Seventh Generation, who was public and went private so they could pursue the sustainable agenda or method. They are not public companies, and so they are not beholden to a larger shareholder base that, again, and all the, you know, from the SEC, the NASDAQ reporting requirements, to the stock options, to everything. It's together with corporate form, all of the regulation that leads to this focus on short-term value. And I was just speaking on the panel with one of the in-house counsel at one of the largest chip manufacturers in the country, and he was talking about what they can and can't do right now in terms of, again, climate change. What they can do because, you know, they think it's the right thing to do, but they always have to tie it to the bottom line. They always have to look at their competitors, and a lot of the things he thinks they should do, but the return is too far out, and they can't afford to take the hit to their next quarter earnings. And their management won't let them because their stock options are, you know, the value of their compensation package is tied to that kind of sort of short-term productivity or sort of truth to the market.
And you have to look at the bottom line. I have to look at the clock, and I'm afraid we are out of time, Susan. But if you would like to hear more of Susan McCormick from Morrison & Foerster and how she is looking at changing corporate structures, please come to Sustainable Brands 09 coming up in just a couple of weeks in Monterey. It's a don't-miss event, and hopefully Greenfront Radio is on your don't-miss shows. We'll see you next week, same time, same station, from the Bay Area back home after this exciting couple of days in Nashville. We'll be talking about that next week. Have a great green week. See you next time.
Yeah.